The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome back to Afternoons with Mike. On the phone with me today, Dr. Ben Rawl. He is a Central Florida chiropractor, and he owns a company called Achieve Wellness. That's his practice. He's the author of a book called Cooperative Wellness. And he was on my show October the 15th. Now, that seems like about 3 years ago right now, because we've had so many things. It's been kind of a busy season here, hasn't it? About 6 weeks ago.
I tell you, I was thinking about it as we were getting ready, and I thought, you know, what do we talk about? And it's like, my goodness, so much has happened, right? And I think a lot yet to come, that it's, we need to talk about the things that we're going to talk about today. But my goodness, you're right. Things are moving at warp speed. We've heard that term recently.
But. Yeah. When I'm thinking about where we are in December, it's actually 2 months ago that it's just hard to imagine, Ben. It just seems like it was yesterday. But we were talking, would have been talking about things like the election and, back then. When we had you on, the whole talk of the whole year has been now what is being referred to as Operation Warp Speed. I'm not sure that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it certainly is amazing that in this day of technology, that a vaccine that has any efficacy at all, that it could be produced in this amount of months. It does. It just weighs in a little bit on the scary side, I think, to a lot of people. And it causes for there to be problems from the standpoint of the issues of trust and the issues of, okay, is this the right time? Am I rushing this? Is this necessary? So I thought what we'd do first of all is to kind of get your thoughts as a person who is in the medical profession. Yeah. What do you see in the last couple of months since you were with us? What has changed in the state of our fight with COVID?
It's such an important conversation. And I do think that it is healthy for us to have, and I don't know what the right word is, Mike, but as I was listening to you, I just thought we should have a healthy level of skepticism. And as Christians, as believers, that we're operating in the world, you often hear that saying, we're, in the world, but not of the world. And I think there's always this tension, or there's always often been this tension, certainly over, human history, of, as we try to interact with culture, and how do we do that in a way that aligns with our worldview? For example, Mike, I remember we were talking before, it was interesting. This would be a great example of this. Some of the vaccines, there was in the process of being made and or used, there is aborted fetal tissue used, right? Well, there presents a unique question or quandary for person, of the faith. And so I think this is, where we sit. So, and then, yes, I am in the medical profession, healthcare profession. And then just as a qualifier, partly for your listeners, I am more on the natural side, right? I mean, that's as a profession, as a chiropractor. We're a drugless natural profession. And so that only is important because that is my bias. And really just, that's my knowledge base, right? Mm-hmm. Now I'm also a dad, and I see a lot of patients, and I'm a consumer of healthcare myself. And so it is my job to evaluate these things and ask the questions from a Christian worldview. And then also just as a healthcare consumer. And so I think but Mike, there's a few caveats I think we need to discuss about this. So the battle of COVID, I think, if I was being honest, I think I have been quite surprised by this said second wave. I think I would have lost that bet. I thought we were going to do better than what we have been doing in some ways, right? And what I mean by that, and there's a lot of... so there was some talk earlier on that we were going to hit herd immunity a little bit faster. as a nation, you know, and there was this idea of kind of a cross immunity, where because coronavirus is in the family of, there's a lot of coronaviruses. As a matter of fact, the common cold is a coronavirus. So there was this, there's hope. And I think there is still absolutely some truth to this, that, and you see this, some people do better with COVID than others, right?
Yeah.
I mean, clearly. And I mean, that's not even debated. I mean, young people, it's virtually untouches them, or, you know, doesn't touch them. I saw a statistic from the CDC, Mike, the other day, and it said the chances of death of COVID, if you're 50 or younger, is 0.013. Okay. So to put that in perspective, right next to that is actually, and this is going to surprise some listeners, but it's really important that we talk about this. And I thank you for having us on. Another thing that kills at the rate of 0.013 is choking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so I'm not saying this to be silly. I'm saying this to give us perspective. So if you're 50 or younger, and then certainly as a child, it literally, the death rate is 0.003. So you're talking, for all intents and purposes, Mike, you're talking zero. Okay. Now that's important, because when you start to talk about something like a vaccine and like a warp speed vaccine, I think that just very logically should give us some pause.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? What are we doing, you know, attempting to vaccinate, you know, millions to billions of people, that certainly a majority, now I'm going to clean this up a little bit, but a majority of us, you know, falling in that very low risk category. I'm concerned, you know, when you're giving something to everybody like that, you know, we got to be careful. I don't think we rush that one. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And like in the, even in the legalities of these terms that you've probably, people are hearing this emergency use authorization, one of the things that legally kind of falls underneath this is you have to prove certain things. First of all, you have to prove that there is a major problem that necessitates warp speed. And this is what is going to get a little, not dicey, but listen, there's people that are very much affected by COVID and have people that have passed away. And I don't think, you know, living in Florida or anywhere, I don't think any of us are taking any of that lightly. And so I just, as a qualifier to any listener, I have, as a healthcare practitioner, I have a significant level of sympathy and empathy for that. However, we also need to keep our heads on straight during these times, right? Clear thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I read a quote the other day, Mike, and it was, you've probably seen it. It's maybe been going around. It was by C.S. Lewis, of course. And it was written about the atomic age, and he was talking about the atomic age. And he basically was saying, and I don't have it in front of me, so I'll paraphrase, but he said, how do we live in this atomic age? And he basically said, we need to live the same way we lived before, right? And what his point was is, if we let it run our minds, if we let it consume us, all we're going to be doing is be huddled around living in fear, waiting for the atomic bomb, was kind of what he was saying. He says we still need to be living and praying and bathing our kids and, you know, playing tennis. These were his words. And I just think there's some wisdom in that statement. I don't think that that makes a person not take this serious. Does that make sense? I don't think that makes you cavalier or anything.
I think it's very helpful to put things in perspective, as you did, by saying that the chance of death by COVID is kind of in the same ballpark as death by choking, and no one would ever want to see anyone, not certainly a loved one, have to go through that. But the other side of it is that we don't stop eating because of a fear of choking. We don't stop going to restaurants because of a fear of choking. I mean, thinking about that, it's like, why has the nation taken this position? And here's one that I don't think we'll ever have an answer for. Why did the American people go along with all of these things back in March, in April? Sadly, it's late. It's late in the game, but there's a lot of places that are pushing back. And I know I've heard stories from the state of Kentucky where basically a restaurant association pushed back against what was going to be an ongoing, perhaps indefinite stay of being open for restaurants. And they said, we'll take the 2-week break. You remember this phrase, Ben? Flatten the curve? You know, that was the phrase. Well, we're no longer trying to flatten the curve. I think we're trying to solve all of life's ills.
Well, and I think you bring up many good points there that you know, that, and I was, had recently read a book written by a journalist, and she was trying to talk about some of these. Why do we, you know, forget? And she called it the memory hole, where the narrative gets changed, or the goalpost gets moved, however you want to say that. And we find ourselves having conversations about something that wasn't how it started. It's like when you are having an argument with maybe your spouse or something, you're like, how do we end up here? Right? We were just arguing about this and now we're fighting about something 20 years ago. It's like, you know, to the restaurant question, and I had I take care of a lot of people in the office and the business owners and hotel workers. And, you know, they're just sharing with me frustrations, you know, whether it is, you know, the tension among people between, you know, masks and no masks and just, you know, the heightened stress with people and loss of jobs and capacity and people losing businesses. And I had a lot of Disney people they take care of. And it's that part is very real. And I think this is an interesting point, Mike, right? That I think we could talk about, which is the impacts of COVID outside of the health aspect of it have been very real for many people.
No question.
And that is, and where people don't want to talk about this, but a lot of people have, but there's health implications to that. They call them diseases of despair. And this is starting to get more attention. Suicide rates, deaths, domestic violences. I have a lot of teachers, Mike, that are telling me about this distance learning, and the failure rate of kids has been unbelievable. Hmm. And I see these kids that come in and they're just, I mean, a little bit, hyperbole here, but they're just almost like zombie because they're forced to look at these screens 7-8 hours a day. You just weren't designed to learn that way as kiddos. And there's other implications, of course, drug use and addiction, and then diseases of despair, which also fall under the category of cardiac arrest, heart disease, things like that, because they're stressed. And that's literally, physiologically, medically, one of the leading causes of heart attacks is stress. And so these are very real health implications, as much as is COVID. Again, not to downplay that. So the other thing, Mike, I want to throw this perspective out there because I think it's important. So the average age of death for COVID in the United States is right around the same average age of our lifespan.
Mm.
Okay. Now, the reason I even bring that up is because when you start to look at making mandates and making these, you know, significant changes to what I certainly call just some level of personal freedom and medical freedom and choice, and you're looking at something that is not, and I want to say this the most appropriate way I can, but, you know, when you have something that's killing people at the rate that is our national, you know, the age of that is at our kind of our average rate age of death anyways, you're really going to have to bring some pretty significant evidence to the table to argue for those changes. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that what I've heard from a lot of people who are in hospitals, and the word that has come back to me is that so often a lot of deaths that are being reported as COVID-related deaths are at the end result really not. I mean, it could be from a, you know, I'm not saying the person didn't have any fight with COVID, but COVID wouldn't have been what actually killed them.
You phrased this so well, and I'm just so thankful. Not many people, you know, are willing to have this discussion. I just watched a review from he's a medical doctor and a statesman from Minnesota. His name is Senator Jansen, and he's been like the medical doctor of the year by the Minnesota Physicians Association. Just a very long-standing stand-up guy. And then another legislator. They got the data, just public data from the Minnesota Department of Health, just like you were assuming. And actually, Florida did some of this where they audited the cases, and what they found was exactly what you're saying. What his premise was is, and some of your listeners might not know this, for the last 17 years, the CDC has told us, this is how you code death certificates, okay? Well, they changed it for COVID. So the way it's been done for 17 years was a particular way, and they changed it during COVID. And here's what they did. So they got all the deaths, just like you said, that have passed away that have this label of COVID, and then they simply applied the way that it used to be done to that. And by doing that, just off the top, that eliminated 40% of the deaths.
Mm.
Now, The reason this matters, and this was just, this is no debate. This isn't, you know, conspiracy theory. For example, one of the people that had died of COVID, they died drowning. One was in a car accident that threw them through the window and they died. Well, that's listed as a COVID death that I think any reasonable person listening to this would say, well, that's not what killed them, right? Dying from COVID and dying with COVID are very different things. Here's why this matters. And I think it leads into how we started this show. Because we make decisions and there's implications to those numbers that drive us into fear or alarm or something. And we do things that sound reasonable, possibly, if it's actually that. But if it's not that, it's very different. So if the death rate's half of what it is, or if the infection rate, or then there's another thing I want to talk about. We don't close restaurants. We don't close schools. We don't cancel, you know, seasons of sports or whatever. Churches are being closed, these types of things. So I think it's really important, and this also goes into vaccines, that we are trying to get accurate, honest information.
Mm-hmm.
And we should all want that. Right.
I think we do. And I think that part of what is so difficult and so just downright weird in this time frame right now is that it seems that the very thing that makes the most sense is the thing that is just somehow lost in the question. It's somehow lost out there. And like, what makes it right? What makes it sensible that the government would be telling us to shut down, as what we're hearing in California, that all restaurants need to be shut down? I mean, how can our life kind of go on?
And Mike, did you see, you just brought up California, and did you see, and this is where I get upset, and I think as again, people of faith on this show, largely, if you're listening, and yet at the same time as you saw that, strip clubs were allowed to be open.
Absolutely.
In California. And that's not, we're not being funny here. Like, that's an actual factual statement right there.
It's an actual reality that you could go and you know, even in between, you could have more people than that at a Home Depot. And I'm grateful that they can have people in the Home Depot. But but then they turn around and say that churches can't meet more than 25 people. And this is, you know, our restaurants need to be shut down. And I think it's not any longer a battle against a pandemic or a disease that is as, you know, communicable as what this one has been played out to be, or we're told that it is.
Yeah.
You know, I have managed to last the year without COVID, and I'm grateful.
Yet
I've been around people who have had COVID. I stood right next to somebody and we found out the next day that they had it. So,
Well, most people, and I think, you know, so you're bringing up a lot of these valid points. And I think there does come a time, we've all lived into this, you know, 10, 12 months, whatever, whenever they thought it started. Matter of fact, an interesting note, I don't know if you saw this, they have been going back and testing blood, you know, blood banks, right? And, mm-hmm. and they're finding coronavirus is the one I saw even as early as October of last year in blood banks in the United States. So COVID has likely been around us for longer than we even believe. So, but let's just say for sake of conversation today that it's been around for this last, year for us, and we've all experienced it in different ways. Me seeing, you know, a lot of patients, and in your world, you're always meeting people and things like that. We both are in industries that I think we communicate with a lot of people. So we maybe hear a little more than most. And I think, Mike, our real life experience has been maybe quite different than what maybe is seen on television or mainstream media. And I think that we need to, you know, believe the reality that we experience. I think at least there's value to that. I'm not saying it contains all the answers, and there mm-hmm. can certainly be skewed perceptions, but let us not be a people that denies our experience, right?
That is well said right there. And I think that part of the reason why in the beginning, in the spring, in March, let's say, when maybe even pre-spring, when all of this was starting to come out and the very first talks about a lockdown started happening toward the end of March, and that again, going back to that phrase, we need to flatten the curve, and that means just to slow this thing down. I think at that point in time, everyone's perception and why they were willing to do that was that this thing was much, much more pervasive than what it has actually turned out to be, and that its impact on people was much, much, much worse than what it has actually turned out to be. And again, I agree with you. To people, we have friends that have lost loved ones, that, and we have a friend up in Gainesville that thought, oh my goodness, she was in the hospital for weeks. We love her dearly, and it was a battle. So some people have really fought the fight, but it has not been the overarching the overarching disease that I think we were all told, and that was the rationale as to why we so quickly and so easily succumbed to the stipulations and the lockdowns and all of those other things that were going on.
So let's talk about a couple of things about this. And I'm going to just ask kind of the listeners a couple of questions. To somebody had posed these the other day to me, and I thought they were valuable, and I'll just ask them. They don't necessitate an answer per se, but to your point about this flatten a curve, as we kind of go walk down memory lane, and the person had said, if social distancing works, then why do we need masks? And then he said, and then if masks work, why do we need lockdowns? And if lockdowns worked, why are the cases on the rise? And if vaccines, you know, are going to be the savior, then why do they now all they're all telling us is we're still going to need masks.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring that up to just as a mental exercise, we need to remember we've agreed to some of these things on the hope of what it was going to mitigate, yet we haven't seen the reality of that. So the conclusion I've kind of come to, Mike, is actually I'm going to just focus on actually, you know, building my health. We were talking a little bit earlier off air, you know, vitamins, you know, the things I can do when I'm not sick, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, what just to stay healthy. We all understand that the comorbidities and underlying health conditions are a very real risk factor, not just for COVID. They're a risk factor for anything. I don't care if it's the, you know, the common cold, the, you know, the flu or cancer. If you're not healthy going in, you're going to have a harder battle with it. That's just logic. Mm-hmm. And so I think as we're looking at this, we just realized that the things that we hoped maybe were going to have the impact, they really honestly didn't have as much impact as we had hoped. And we just have to be realistic about that. And then we say, what can we do? The reason I wanted to discuss this, but I do want to talk a few facts about this vaccine. You did talk about the warp speed and you know, is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? I don't know that answer, but because time can only answer that, right? The future will only prove out that. But there are very factual things we can say about what this warp speed has created, which is we have no idea the long-term effects of this vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
That is just a factual statement based on time, right? We can't know what this vaccine will do to people in a year or two from now because all we have is data from a couple of months, okay? This is just the phase 3 trials were only done just a couple of months ago. So there was a lady, you know, that I just saw on television that had passed out after she had an injection. There was a couple of anaphylactic shocks up in shock people up in Alaska. I saw, I mean, and we're just getting this thing rolled out. Mike, they're on record saying, and this is important for our listeners to know. It said that, you know, you hear these numbers thrown around 95% effective and things like this. Yet what they don't realize is that they said that they didn't even test if this stops transmission. That's why they're telling you that you're going to likely need to continue to wear a mask because you can still get infected with COVID with the vaccine. It's just their hope is it seems it might make it a little less, you know, intense, the symptoms a little less intense, but they haven't shown reduction in death and they haven't shown reduction if you're infectious. So that's really important because I think people considering getting it are hoping that it would do both of those things,
mm-hmm.
right? And so I think we have to be just very realistic with the data and understand this. The way this is written, I was listening to a medical doctor speak on this the other day. She said, you are enrolling in an experiment. And that is that's not a hyperbole, Mike. You are part of, we're going to see what this does. And you can't undo that. So if you participate in that and we find out that it's very bad,
mm-hmm.
then you now have set yourself up. And I want to explain something to people very quickly. And then Mike, ask me some questions or pick it apart. But this type of technology, this messenger RNA technology, and I want the listeners to understand this. This has never been done in humans before. Okay. There's no other vaccine that exists on the market that's like this one. Okay. Every other time they've tried to make coronavirus vaccines, they've always failed at the part of animal studies because the animals were having what they call the cytokine storm, and these animals were dying when they got reintroduced to the wild viruses. So basically, they'd get vaccinated, they'd get re-exposed, and then their body would create this massive attack, and it actually killed them in the process. Here's why that's important. Warp speed allowed them to skip animal trials. So what's previously, for the last 10 to 20 years that they've been trying to make a coronavirus vaccine, it's hit a roadblock every time at animal trials because of what I just explained. And you say, well, how did it happen now? Well, the reason it happened now is because the warp speed regulation and the state of emergency, those words have meaning, right? When you say state of emergency, you can bypass certain laws, government regulations. We've seen this happen within our own government. They start to, do things. You go, I didn't think they could do that. I didn't think they could shut down churches. And I still don't think they can shut down churches, but they're attempting to do those things. So we're sitting here with an experimental vaccine. There's no other way you can say that. It's very limited testing on a very few number of people. And we're now putting that out into the general population. When most people have it under the age of 50, the death rate is 0.0 something. Mm-hmm. I mean, Mike, I don't know. I'm not that smart of a guy, but there is reason for, I think, every listener to go, man, this doesn't sound like a great idea. Certainly not at the tune of hundreds of millions of people to billions getting this. And it's likely, Mike, that they want this to become an annual thing because, again, they have no idea how long the immunity will last, if it, at what level it will even last. So you could very much see this thing being a flu. And their dream, Mike, would probably say their dream, I'm talking more maybe the business end of this, would be that they could get it to be something that's mandated, mandatory to fly, mandatory to work, mandatory to go to school. And that's where, again, as believers and our freedoms and our natural born freedoms, our God-given freedoms, oh my goodness, my friend, if we lose bodily autonomy, we're in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've heard the stories, and a lot of these would be in those categories, as at least people put them in those categories of conspiracy theorists and things like that, and doomsdayers and the like.
Yeah.
But we've all heard growing up, if you've grown up in the church at all, you've heard the book of Revelation preached, and you've heard the stories about the mark of the beast and how the mark of the beast, whatever that was going to be, whatever that meant, was going to be something that was taken, and it was implied that it's taken on or in the body, and that it is going to be necessary for basically for selling and doing commerce of all forms. So in other words, the teaching that I grew up hearing in our church is that if you're going to live, if you're going to be in the world, you're going to have to have the mark. And yet the scripture implications about those who do, woe unto them. And so there's a lot of people who are very nervous and not so sure that this, like you said earlier, this is maybe not the greatest way to do this.
Absolutely. And I know that, like you said, some people that, well, here's what I would say. We don't know if this is the mark of the beast, as an example, but I don't think there is anything wrong as believers to consider these things and to ask these questions in our life and how we relate to those things. That doesn't, but this does. And another thing that a person would need to know about this vaccine that I think is important, Mike, is that the vaccine makers have immunity towards lawsuits. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so the reason this is important is no other drug has this. So let's rephrase this just a little bit differently. Let's say that the government, let's say this wasn't in the form of a vaccine. For some reason we give, and some of it's just public perception and history, but we give vaccines a kind of a different category in our brains sometimes. So let's just call it something. Let's call it what it is. Actually, it's a drug. It's a product, a pharmaceutical product. Let's say that they were saying, we're going to mandate this drug for you, you have to take it. If it hurts you or kills you, You can't sue anybody for that, right? And by the way, it's not really been tested for any long-term effects. I'll give you an example. Lipitor was tested for about 5 years before it was ever allowed to be on market. Viagra, many people would know that medication. That medication had 10 years of testing before it was ruled out and laid out into the public. This vaccine has literally months at most to having testing. So if I said to you, take this drug, it hasn't been tested. If it hurts you or kills you, you have the company that made it has complete, you know, immunity or no liability. You would say that's crazy, you know. And now, I think you should say that.
Now, before we take a break, just to give what I think would be, some would hear this, and maybe if we have people listening who are in the medical world, and they would say, well, there's another side to this. They would say that our testing is better than it would have been even 10, 15 years ago, that the testing at the pre-laboratory experiment, I don't mean that kind of testing. I'm talking about the production and the making of it all, that it's much more advanced and they can tell things are in a more quick manner. That's what I've heard some people say. And I want to believe that that could be true. But I think what you're bringing up, your pause for concern, is something that is at least something that I believe people should consider. And we need to be careful here, because so much has you know, you mentioned a great illustration. I always love it. The goalposts, chains, you know, we're all heading up and down. The goalposts never move. But the chains that mark the 10-yard, the 10 yards at a time when you get your downs, first and 10, those do move. And those are dynamic. And as we move down the field, our goalposts, what we're aiming for, that hasn't moved. But, you know, the measurement of our progress, it does.
Yeah.
And it has moved in this regard this year. It has definitely moved. We've gone from flattening the curve, and now we've gone from hearing that masks don't really help, and now we're hearing that they do help. And I'm wondering, you know, if there's ever going to be a day that we're not only not going to be helped by them, but that we're going to have to wear them. I mean, I'm just wondering if that day's ever going to come back again, that we can go to a ball game, sit in the stands, go to a concert, sit in the floor of the auditorium and have people around us. I just wonder if that's, you know, it's a question.
You know, it is. And it's worth taking the time to have these, you know, to engage our brains and wrestle with these questions, because if we don't, then there is people in other positions that will then just make those decisions for us. And then that creates a whole, you know, other multitude of implications and problems.
Oh my goodness, it does. I'm talking to Dr. Ben Rawl. He is with Achieve Wellness and the author of the book Cooperative Wellness. We're going to be back with Dr. Rawl coming up in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike, and you're in tune to The Shepherd. I'm on the line with a Central Florida chiropractor named Dr. Ben Rawl. Ben, it's so great to have you back on the show. You were here mid-October, and as we mentioned earlier, boy, have things in the world, even it's hard to imagine that in just less than 2 months' time, they would gear up the way they have, but they actually, it's actually over 2 months ago that you were here, but the world is on, you talk about Operation Warp Speed. I feel like that's what's happening in our life right now. We're living life on warp speed, and almost every day there's like these changes that are going on. And, you know, I have people regularly on the show, like Matt Staver, who is with the Liberty Council. And he, you know, when I talk with Matt or Dave Zanotti from the Public Square, I get to talk with these guys who are, they're in different areas of the battle, so to speak. They're, you know, Matt Staver is an attorney, and he's representing the people who have been either accused, and most of the time accused wrongly, or having their civil liberties or their religious liberties removed and taken away from them. And so he's doing the fight all the way up to the Supreme Court, and then Dave Zanotti dealing with policy, American public policy, and all of the things that COVID did. One of the things that it did was it just put everybody on this cycle that has basically been able to be taken advantage of in ways that laws that should have only been able to be changed by legislatures were actually done by a mere executive order of either a governor or another elected official who just put in some of the voting changes, and those things should never have happened, and yet they did. And and people let that go, and I think looked the other way, and now we're like, what have we done? And so that's why we're having this discussion today. We're talking about things, and we've got to get a hold of certain things, or we're going to find out that more has slipped through our fingers than we could have ever imagined.
So you made me think of something. I don't know if, because I'm always trying to think, how can we communicate this in a way that just helps us consider it maybe from a perspective that's more helpful? And I just thought, if we could go back to the beginning, now this is an impossible exercise, but we can use it for future thinking. If we could go back and we could say, we know this thing called COVID is, I'm going to use some of the numbers I've used earlier in this call here, but it comes in at for a death rate of under 50 at 0.013. That's on par with, choking, just to use that as an example. Of course, we understand there are, again, just to be clear, we understand there is categories of people that this is very hard on. People that's happened to. Mm-hmm. We get that. That's not the point of this statement. We're just trying to understand this. But to your point, we don't make people, eat surrounded by a team of doctors. We didn't ban eating. We didn't move everybody to intravenous food. We didn't ban food on it, in restaurants, because we understood that risk. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't, learn things and practice Heimlich maneuvers or whatever the different things are, teach our kids to chew up their food. But it's the perspective. So if we could go back, Mike, I think it would sound very silly at the time to say, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to shut down states. We're going to close restaurants. We're not going to let you exercise. We're going to close houses of worship. We're, and just go on and on and on. And all the things that we've experienced this last 10, 12 months, you would say, for what? 0.01. No, nobody would do that. Yet we sit here. Now I want to bring in a caveat. I know we're winding down on time, but I was recently, and some of the listeners might remember this, it's a famous study. It was done out of Yale by a Yale professor. It was Milgrams. Do you know what I'm talking about, Mike? Does that ring a bell?
No.
Well, you might remember when I describe it. That's the study where they took people and they had them deliver an electric shock to somebody. And what they were testing was, will people follow authority? And so on very quick, they brought the people in. They were told they were going to deliver a shock to somebody they couldn't see if they got the question wrong. And what they found is they were literally going to be delivering up to 450 volts, which would have been considered a potential lethal dose. And they were seeing if a person standing there basically in a position of authority, i.e. wearing a white coat and a clipboard, and if that person said, just keep doing it, how many people would go along? And what they found was disturbing. Most people that went through this study, these college students at Yale, were willing to deliver deadly doses, deadly voltages to these people just to follow authority. And they were also told something, Mike. They were told that it would not be their fault. So they were told, it's not your responsibility. We're telling you to deliver this. And so I look at because I think you're posing this question to us, is how did we let this happen? And I think in the beginning, there was some benevolent trust. Hey, we want to do the right thing if this is as bad as it is. But the minute we start to see things are not as they appear. And for the churches, I commend every church that has stood strong during this. I think it's fantastic. I think it's critical. Churches that kept their doors open, even the ones that defied orders of man and said, we believe this is important. And even in the midst of a health pandemic said, we believe in, laying hands on the sick and praying for them. Dr. Ben Rolfe thinks that's very commendable. Mm-hmm. And I think as we sit here, we have to wrestle with some tough things. And some of us have to realize we kind of got duped, right? There's a term called cognitive dissonance, and it's this idea that it's hard to change our opinions because it's admitting that we were wrong. And I think, and now add into the onslaught of just media and, sure, you know, ulterior motives and big pharma, you know, things that we all just live in this world and understand. I don't know how much of that is or isn't. I just mean, now knowing what we know, I think to your point, Mike, we kind of have to say enough is enough. And I don't want to say take to the streets. I'm not, you know, but almost, right? Let's live. Open up the restaurants, you know, and those people that are concerned and rightfully so in some of those demographics, I think personally we should be focusing on taking care of those high risk categories and getting them foods and resources and nutrition and love and care and concern and protecting them, but not, you know, vaccinating 7 billion people around the world with an unknown, you know, medical product and say, hope this works.
Right. Well, I'm so grateful that we have a governor in Florida who has made the stand that he's made, and he's holding tight to it. And you can't imagine, I'm sure, what kind of pressure he's going through from the federal levels of people leaning on him to make the change. Because we're in Florida, we're one of the largest population states, greater than New York. And and yet, you know, he's holding tight, and I'm grateful that we're,
and we've performed
we're
pretty
there.
Well.
Yes,
you know, I saw him say yesterday, you know, or recently, you know, we're not going to close our restaurants. And I mean, I think people misunderstand his he's not an idiot. He's looking at the data. You know, he's looking at the numbers we're discussing, and he's saying, hey, he's not taking human life lightly. And he's but there's a lot to this conversation. And so to your point, Mike, we haven't locked it down like many other states. We haven't had some of the mandates of many other states, and we've outperformed most of those states. That's a thing to celebrate. I think we can learn from that.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
we don't have to go, oh, you're terrible. I look at it and go, gosh, thankfully people have been able to somewhat stay working. Obviously people think so, like Disney and Central Florida have suffered significantly. And that's very real, but I just, yeah, exactly. Let's learn, you know, and we need to, you know, it's okay to say, hey, I was wrong. We overestimated out of an over, you know, over sense of an overabundance of caution. And now we, thankfully it's not as it's bad for some, but it's not as bad as we thought for everybody. Thank goodness. Let's keep the kids in school. Let's, you know, do those things that we know that we can do and celebrate, you know. And Mike, maybe if I can kind of wind down with this and maybe you give final thoughts, but as a believer, I think there's, again, a reason when I see a statistic that says, you know, under 50, 99.97% survival rate, whatever the number was, that is just such an example to me of God's amazing, brilliant design. Right? How we're fearfully and wonderfully made, created in the likeness and image of God, that he gave us these incredible immune systems. See, there's an entirely different way we could be having this conversation. We could just be celebrating the fact that most people do really well, even in the midst of what's called this incredible, you know, global pandemic. How awesome is our God? How awesome is it that he breathes our lungs, he beats our heart, and not to put your news on the air, I know you have been feeling not quite this, you know, quite great the last day or two, yet here you are doing a show, your body's healing, right?
Praise Absolutely. God. Yes, indeed.
And I love that. Like, I just wish we could give more life to that. We could talk more about, you know, it's like when we preach, we got to preach about repentance and we got to preach about sin. Absolutely. But we also preach about grace and love and mercy and kindness. And they're the same. I love Paul always, right? And grace and truth. This is part of this. So yes, we can be caught. We can speak about people passing and being, you know, caring for them and compassion for them and empathy. And then we also celebrate healing and restoration. And
yes.
you know what I mean?
You know, there was a book years ago, a friend of mine gave this book to me, and it was at a point in time where I was probably much more guilty than I should have been of making too big of a deal out about things that was going on in my body, such as sicknesses and things like that. And I did not even realize I was doing it. It was one of those blind spots in my life. And I just did not realize that it was consuming a lot of my thoughts. I talked about it a lot. And there was this one Puritan writer, I'll never think of the quote exactly, but he was just basically encouraging us to not make a big deal out of every little thing that goes on in our bodies, that goes on in our lives. Just look the other way and be grateful for what we have and thank God for the challenges that we're going to make it through. Because like you said, he has made us, by and large, we are amazing machines that heal ourselves. But it's amazing if we take care of ourselves, get rest, then we heal. And that is exactly what God wants. He wants us to live our lives with our focus upon Him. And that's something, as we do wind down this part of the discussion, ending, we're in Christmas week. And, you know, there's so many great reasons that believers this week we have to be hopeful and to have the joy of the Lord in our heart. This is a week unlike any other week of the year when we celebrate the fact that we have a Savior, God Emmanuel, who came for us. And that our hope and our trust is in the Lord. Thank God it's in the Lord and not Dr. Fauci. Nothing against Dr. Fauci.
But or Dr. Ben. Yeah, you can. Yeah, anybody. No, yeah, not a political statement there, right? Yeah.
Not at all. Yeah, yeah, but yeah. I'm serious. I am grateful that all of the experts in the world cannot take that away from us. We have the joy of the Lord, and we are to bend the knee toward Him and to Him only, and that's what we're going to be doing as we go on through this thing. Ben Rawl, I want to say thank you so much, man, for being back with me here again today. And I look forward to having you back in the actual studio soon.
Yes. Mike, can I give just a quick couple sentences?
Absolutely.
You made me think of something. And you because I think there's a, because I deal with a lot of believers too. And I think that there is this tension between, you know, what's the Christian thing to do in the midst of this, right? And I think you bring up such a tremendous point, which is who our ultimate authority is. And we can never lose sight of that. And God forbid, even if I myself, you know, got into COVID and it was a battle that my body was unable to survive, I ultimately know that I am healed and I will be in the streets of heaven.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
And that's important, because if we lose sight of that, we will make decisions for here that are not in alignment with that. And that does not make me a careless person. It's actually a kingdom perspective. And so I would encourage the listeners, as you know, let us not bow to the science or the religion of science, if I could say it that way, right? Let us not put idols ahead of any of that, even in the midst. Let us not be like Peter before, you know, as Christ was being, you know, crucified and he denied him. Let us be the Peter post-resurrection, bold and courageous, speaking of our King and our Savior and our healer. Let's not put him on the back burner in the midst of the crisis, when that's the time he should be on the forefront and he is on the throne. So I just felt the need to say that, because you set that up so well, especially as we celebrate his birth.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. Ben Rawl, God bless you. Give us your website again, if you will, so how people can get in touch with you.
Yeah, that's probably the best. It's achievewellness.clinic. So that's a little different. That's .clinic. And then we are on Facebook, and we also have a podcast that we do called Designed to Heal, where we talk about these things as well, if that's of interest to the listeners.
Wonderful. Ben Rawl, that is spelled R-A-L-L. And look him up and listen to that podcast too, because you know, you put yourself down a little bit by saying you're not the smartest guy around. And I think you might be one of the smarter guys around, Ben. You've got a lot going on for you, my man. God, hey, very Merry Christmas to you, Ben. And
you too, guys.
We'll see you after the first of the year here on the next time you're in with us here. And friends,
beautiful.
Thank you for being with me today. We'll be back in a moment with some final thoughts. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike, and you're in tune to The Shepherd. Friends, I am so grateful that you've been able to be with me not only today, but all year long in this most unusual year. I think we're all kind of happy to see 2020 come to an end and looking forward to all the things that God has for us in 2021. And we are praying that the Lord will give us some of the answers that we've been praying for, especially with regards to people's health, the whole COVID thing. I know that many of you are just praying daily, and I know those that are suffering from this so appreciate that. Continue to do that, and let's believe God for something wonderful. We'll catch you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.